ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೆ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮೀತಿ ನಾಮಿನೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶತಾರಿಣಿ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ಟುಡೇ I will try and speak something about Lord Jagannath, more for my own purification. And to do this, I seek the blessings of all the devotees here. I would also like to thank His Grace Giriraj Prabhu for having said such nice things about me, and I hope someday I'll be able to live up to his expectations. We'll try and cover some topics today. The Mahatmya of Jagannath Puri. We already saw a beautiful drama about the appearance of Lord Jagannath. We'll try and speak something about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees in Jagannath Puri, including the various festivals like Rath Yatra, and today is also Hera Panchami and the disappearance day of Srila Vakreshwar Pandit. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj says that the sky is very vast, but a bird can only fly as much as he can. So I will make my humble attempt at trying to repeat something which I have heard from our acharyas, in particular His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. The Skanda Puran has a chapter dedicated to the Mahatmya of Purushottam Kshetra. And this is considered to be the most authoritative information according to the scriptures. There was a rishi by the name of Jaimini Rishi. He was speaking to an audience of thousands of rishis. And in that, he described the holiest of all holy places, Purushottam Kshetra. He said, if anyone visits this holy place and takes darshan of their lordships, Sri Sri Neela Madhav and Lakshmi Ji over there, then all the sins are washed away and doors to the highest perfection will be opened. When the sages heard this, they requested Jaimini Rishi to explain the glories of Purushottam Kshetra. It starts with the appearance of Lord Brahma. When Lord Brahma appeared on the lotus flower from the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, after performing tapasya, Lord Vishnu appeared and gave him transcendental knowledge. He also gave him the knowledge on how to create the universe, the visarga, secondary creation. all the planets, all the living entities, and all that we can see and hear around us. After creating these facilities, Lord Brahma became very despondent. He said that the pleasures which are created by my creation will keep the living entities bound down to this place, then where is the chance of their liberation? They will be tied by the three gunas. And in one sense, this creation is useless. I will be a party to their not being elevated to the Vaikuntha lokas. Brahma prayed to Vishnu and asked how everything can be liberated. Lord Vishnu explained when he descended on his Vahan Guruji. He said the facility to misuse their minute independence and enjoy separately from me is given to each and every individual living entity. It is up to them whether they want to remain here and keep trying to enjoy the material pleasures or get liberated. Free will always be available to all the living entities. And he said, Brahmaji, it is not practical to think that every living entity will be liberated. There will always be living entities who want to remain in this material world and try to enjoy. So you please do not worry. But for those who want to get liberated, there is a place named Purushottam Kshetra. My murti named Neelamadav is there. Next to my murti is Rohini Kund. This place on the north side of the southern sea, and it is on the south of the Mahanadi. It is near the Ekambravan, which is a beautiful place. And this place is a beautiful blue mountain. Brahma, you should go there. You go there and take darshan of Neelamadav. So Brahmaji came. He descended to where the murti is. And when he reached there, a very extraordinary thing happened. A crow who was flying over the kund, when he felt thirsty, he just dipped his beak into the ambrosial waters of the Rohini Kund, and immediately he was transformed into a four-armed form and he ascended to Vaikuntha Lok. Brahmaji was surprised to see this. And it so happened at the same time Yamraj came there. When Yamraj saw this, he started praying to Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi. He said, my Lord, you have given me the service of punishing the sinful people. If getting liberated so easy by just touching the water of this kund, then I will be out of business. How will I punish these people? You are taking away the service from me. Vishnu told Lakshmi, please explain to him. Lakshmi ji narrates the following to Yamraj. She says, Yamraj, in Purushottam Kshetra you have no power. In this Purushottam Kshetra there is no need for you to punish anyone. Because everyone in this Purushottam Kshetra is a liberated soul. Anyone who bathes in this kund and takes darshan of this disease is liberated. You cannot look upon them or even touch them. It is equivalent to thousands of Ashwamedha Yajnas to just come to this holy place, take darshan of the deities and take a few drops of water from the Rohini Kund. So Yamaraj says, please tell me more about this place. Lakshmi Devi explains that once upon a time there was a rishi by the name of Markandeya Rishi. Now this rishi had a benediction that he would live for 7 kalpas. Just to refresh your memory, I will explain to you what 1 kalpa is. 1 kalpa is a day of Brahma. And after each day of Brahma, there is a night of Brahma. So Markandeya Rishi was given this benediction that he will remain alive for 7 kalpas. Now 1 day of Brahma is equal to 1,000 cycles of Satyug, Treta, Dwapar, Kali. I don't think we have a calculator which can even fit in the so many numbers. Otherwise we would have exhibited on the screen over here. Satyug is 17,28,000 years. Treta is 12,96,000 years. Dwapar is 8,64,000 years. And Kali Yuga is 4,32,000 years. In all, 43,20,000 years is 1 cycle. Multiply this with 1,000. That is only day. What about the night? And then you multiply this with 7. This was the lifespan of Markandeya Rishi. Any of you would like to have such a lifespan? And this is not the end of the story. With all benedictions, there are also many difficulties. At the end of the day, when there is a pralaya, the entire creation is covered with water. All the lakes, rivers, seas, oceans, they all get connected. And it is water, water everywhere and not a drop to drink. In this huge ocean, there are huge fishes, sharks, timingalas. And Markandeya Rishi is the only living entity who is trying to float and keep himself alive. Can please someone take care of the child? Hari Bol. So while he was trying to just remain alive, he was being attacked by these huge fishes and they were showing him their teeth. Sometime he would be tossed up, sometime he would be tossed down. At last, he saw an island. And when he saw that island, he was trying to make his way towards the island. And he had a very beautiful darshan. On that island, there was a beautiful tree. It was a Kalpavriksha tree. Under that tree, on a leaf, was baby Krishna. He was trying to hold his feet with his hands and put the toe into his mouth to suck it. When Markandeya Rishi saw that beautiful darshan, all his pain, all his anxiety, all his tiredness, everything immediately left him. And he became enlivened. And this baby Krishna says, Markandeya Rishi, come here. Markandeya Rishi went closer and Bal Gopal inhaled and Markandeya Rishi went directly into his mouth, into his abdomen. He was sucked into it. Within the abdomen he saw the entire universes, the mountains, the rivers, the devis, the devatas, everything including his own hermitage. He got a darshan of the entire creation within the belly of this baby. And after a few moments, when the child exhaled, Markandeya Rishi came out of his mouth, shooting out of his mouth. Krishna told him, Markandeya Rishi, this island is my very own abode. When the entire creation is annihilated by the pralaya, nothing happens to this island. It was never created and it shall never be annihilated. You, Markandeya Rishi, should stay here. And this island, dear friends, is none other than the Purushottam Kshetra. So Markandeya Rishi stayed there and he started meditating. He started meditating on the Lord. Seeing his meditation, Lord Shiva was very pleased with him. Lord Shiva came and he gave him his darshan in his heart. Lord Shiva was in a golden form with 10 arms and 3 eyes. And he gave the benediction to Markandeya Rishi. Please, I am very happy with your meditation. Ask for some boon. Markandeya Rishi says, I want to always meditate upon Lord Krishna and his devotees and amongst his devotees, you, Lord Shiva. Markandeya Rishi was given this boon. And Lord Shiva left from there, but then there is a place over there, what is known as a Markandeya Sarovar, and there Markandeya Rishi worshipped Markandeshwar Mahadev. Lakshmi said, this holy dam of Purushottam Kshetra is shaped like a conch shell. On one end, there is the deity of Narsingadev, and next to the deity of Narsingadev is Neelakantha. There is also Kapalamochan Mahadev. An interesting story about this is that once Lord Shiva cut off one of the heads of Brahmaji with his trident. Please don't ask me why. These stories are very transcendental. But the head would not come out of his trident. He traveled all over the universe. And only when he came to this Purushottam Kshetra, the head came off. And the place where the head came off, Shiva has his Kapalamochan Mahadev deity over there. There is another place where Lord Shiva is worshipped in Purushottam Kshetra. And it is the place where Lord Yamraj, after listening to the glories about this Purushottam Kshetra from Lakshmiji, he established this. And it is known as Yameshwaram. This is the same place in the garden of which Gadadhar Pandit found the deity of Tota Gopinath and worshipped him, and it is also the same deity into which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered when he closed his earthly pastimes. So Lakshmiji explained to Brahma, and Yamaraj, who were listening, Neelamadav will stay. It is said that out of the 100 years of lifetime of Brahmaji, when he completes 50 years, Neelamadav disappears. So she explains that there will be a huge sandstorm, and in this sandstorm, Neelamadav will disappear. But then, a great devotee king by the name of Indradyumna Maharaj, he will establish the deities, and they will be known as Daru Brahma. And Lakshmi told Brahmaji, you Brahma will personally come to install those deities. And so saying, Brahmaji left from there. Now the rishis asked Jaimini Rishi, please tell us more about Indradyumna Maharaj. Indradyumna Maharaj was a perfect Vaishnav. Our devotees were very enthusiastic in trying to tell you how the Prime Minister of Indradyumna Maharaj was trying to entertain him. But he was a Raj Rishi. He was very young, very strong, very handsome. He was constantly meditating upon the Lord. He had no time for mundane music or dance. He was very charitable and full of compassion. And he has complete control over his senses and his mind. He was very eager to worship Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. And he was like a father to his citizens. He had no attachments. He was not attached to his kingdom. He was not attached to his family. He was not attached to his prestige. He was not attached to his wealth. One day, he came out of his deity room and started asking the assembly of sages who were waiting outside, please tell me on this earth, where can I take darshan of the Lord? At that time, there was a mendicant over there who was a very simple person. He told King Indradyumna Maharaj, I have traveled all over Bharatvarsha from my childhood, and I have come to only one place where I stayed for 1 year and I meditated upon the Lord and I have attained entire satisfaction. And that place is north of the Southern Sea, south of the Mahanadi, and it is next to the Ekamravan. Go, King, go! Go to that place! And you will get darshan of your Lord over there. The king immediately called his priests and prime ministers. He said, now we have the address. Send your people, go and find out where this place is. So the king sends Vidyapati. Vidyapati rides on a chariot. And he goes to this beautiful forest of Ekamravan. And he goes further, and just on the outskirts of Purushottam Kshetra, he observes that the people of that place are amongst themselves talking only about the Lord. They are so humble. They are so sweet. He approaches them and he meets their leader, Vishwavasu. Vishwavasu takes him home and he expresses his hospitality. And at that time, Vidyapati explains that he has been sent by King Indradyumna in search of Neela Madhav. The king wants to come and surrender his life over here. We have heard that in this locality, Neela Madhav resides. Vishwavasu, when he heard this, was disappointed. Because he thought, now, if the king comes and worships the Lord, then our humble service to him will be taken away from us. We are only worshipping the Lord in a very simple manner. The king will come and he will worship the Lord in a very royal manner. But he had heard from his ancestors that the day will come when a sandstorm will cover Neela Madhav, and after that a king will establish Neela Madhav in the form of Daru Brahma. Since he was knowing this, he was also happy about it. And he took Vidyapati with him through the forest. It was a very narrow way. Vidyapati was following him and he took him. You might be wondering that what you saw in the drama is different from what I am telling you. But there are different versions of these stories in different scriptures. So, both are true. I remember once His Grace Srinathji Prabhu was sitting on this Vyasasana and giving a class about Govardhan Puja. At that time we had different paintings over here. And the artist who had made the painting of the Govardhan Puja had shown that he is lifting, Lord Krishna is lifting in his right hand the Govardhan Parvat. So after the class, somebody asked Srinathji Prabhu, Prabhuji, you said that Krishna lifted the mountain on his left hand, but in this painting in the temple he is showing right hand. So Srinathji Prabhu, you know how witty he is. He said, that is a different millennium. Who can control or restrict Krishna that he should lift Govardhan only with his left hand? It is his wish. He is Swaraj. Sometimes he lifts with his left hand, sometimes he lifts with his right hand. So these pastimes are also like this. Sometimes we'll hear that he was taken by Lalita, sometimes we'll hear that he was taken by Vishwavasu himself. But in short, Vidyapati reached. He took his bath in the Rohini Kund and he took darshan of Neela Madhav. Such beautiful deities. Such beautiful deities. And having taken the darshan, he wanted to stay there. He said, such a beautiful deity, such wonderful association, such persons like Vishwavasu, who wants to give up all this and go back? But then he thought that I have a service to perform. I have to go and inform King Indradyumna about the location of Neela Madhav so that he can also come here. So he started to return. When he was about to leave, he heard celestial music which was coming from the top of the mountain, from the top of the hill. He asked Vishwavasu, what is that? So Vishwavasu explained that during daytime, we the Shabaras, we worship Neela Madhav in a very simple manner. But at night time, all the devis and the devatas that descend here, King Indra comes personally and he brings a celestial garland, the flowers of which never wither. The fragrance from these flowers is everlasting. And the offerings that they make are unseen and unheard in this world. Vidyapati is saying, I was about to ask you, how come you serve such wonderful prasadam? There are no markets around here. Where do you get the ingredients? Vishwavasu says that these are the offerings that the demigods leave behind and we get to enjoy them during daytime. So Vidyapati returns to Avanti Desh to give his message to King Indradyumna. King Indradyumna receives him in a very respected manner. And as soon as he saw that garland in his hand, he understood that this must be the Mahagarland from Neelamadav. Vidyapati offered that garland to King Indradyumna and he explained to him the details of his journey and his experiences. King Indradyumna immediately made an order. He said, the entire kingdom, we are all now going to Purushottam Kshetra. Pack up. The Brahmins, whatever you need for a yagyas, the Kshatriyas, whatever you need to defend yourself, the Vaishyas, take your cows and you take your plows and whatever else you need. We are all going. He was so enthusiastic, not only about himself, but also about his subjects. He wanted all of them to go back to Godhead. So he makes these wonderful preparations. At that time, Narada Muni appears. You know how Narada Muni is. He will be there at the right time, at the right place, meeting the right people. And playing the right song on his right veena. He says, I just came down and Naranarayan from Bhadrika Ashram, they told me that King Indradyumna is going to Purushottam Kshetra. So I also want to join you on this yatra. No registration. Last minute he wants to join. Not allowed in Radha Gopinath Yatras. So King Indradyumna invites him, says, please come. Please come on my chariot and we'll go together. On the way, Narada Muni explains to King Indradyumna about the various types of devotional services and he gives him the details. What is devotional service in the mode of passion? What is devotional service in the mode of ignorance? What is devotional service in the mode of goodness? And what is devotional service in a transcendental mood? He gives him all these instructions and they begin their journey. But in the meantime, this was not known to either King Indradyumna or Narada Muni, but in the background what is happening is that huge sandstorm came. The entire place was devastated. The deities of Neelamadav could not be seen anywhere. The Shavaras were trying to look for him. They could not find him anywhere. And Neelamadav disappeared. But the journey of King Indradyumna along with Narada Muni continues. And they came to a beautiful forest. King Indradyumna thought, this is Purushottam Kshetra. Narada Muni says, no. This is Ekamravan. Says, can you tell me something about this Ekamravan? Narad Muni explains that when Shiva used to perform a lot of penances, Parvati would go and stay with her parents. But Lord Shiva kept on increasing his penances, and most of the time Parvati was with her mother. So one day, lovingly and jokingly, Parvati's mother just asked her that men, they make their homes for their wives. What about Lord Shiva? He has not made some sort of a residence for you. Not that we don't want you to stay with us, but I was just, you know, worried about you, that how come nothing like this is done. So Parvati tells Lord Shiva about this. So he said, okay. And he creates a beautiful city. A magnificent city with beautiful gardens and rivers and mountains. This place he calls as Kashi. There are two rivers there, Varuna and Ashi, and they meet, so it is known as Varanasi. So this beautiful place of Kashi was the abode of Lord Shiva and Parvati for many, many kalpas, and then they moved to Kailash. When they moved to Kailash, there were different Kashi Rajas who would come up and rule over Kashi. One such Kashi Raj, he had bad association. He was the friend of Pandrak, and he was his ally. So one day Pandrak sends a message to Krishna in Dwarka that I am the original Vasudev. You please give up these duplicate Shankh, Chakra, Gada and Padma that you are carrying. If you don't do that, I will come and destroy you. When this message reached Dwarka, Lord Krishna said, we are waiting for you. This Pandrak, he had somehow created two extra arms. He was wearing yellow robes. He had a duplicate Kaustubha. And he thought that with the help of Kashi Raj, he'll be able to finish the city of Dwarka along with its residents and the king. So they came. They came and immediately Krishna released his Sudarshan Chakra and Pandrak was killed and Kashi Raj was killed. And the chakra went back to Kashi. The residents of Kashi were very happy. They thought this must be the head of Krishna, but when they looked closer, it was their own king Kashi Raj. So the son of that Kashi Raj wanted to take revenge against Krishna. So he worshipped Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is Bholenath, you know. Anybody goes and pleases him, he says Tathastu. And then he asks, what do you want? He says, I want to kill Krishna. He said, what? Anyway, I have already promised you. So you go ahead and my army will come behind you. So they go. Lord Shiva, he creates a huge demon, huge fiery demon. When this demon goes to Dwarka, the inhabitants of Dwarka cry out and go to Krishna and say, please save us. Krishna says, don't worry. When it comes, he releases his chakra once again and the demon goes back to Kashi. Kashi Raj is annihilated and the chakra goes after Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva comes and begs forgiveness. Krishna says, tell me one thing. I do not understand. How can you make friends with such demoniac, insignificant, filthy worm named Kashiraj. In my opinion, this is Lord Krishna telling Lord Shiva, in my opinion, no one in this creation hates me more than you, Shiva. The heart of Lord Shiva is totally devastated. He said, Lord, because of my nature, I am associating with these people from Tamoguna. In my heart, you are my most worshipable Lord. How can I ever think about doing anything which is against you? I need your association. So Lord Krishna says, one of my permanent places of residence is Purushottam Kshetra. Right next to it is the Ekamravan. You come and make that as your permanent residence. And since we will be neighbors, you will have good association. So that is how Ekamravan was named Bhuvaneshwar by Krishna himself, because he asked Lord Shiva to come and stay there. Then Lord Krishna goes ahead and informs Lord Shiva about the glories of Purushottam Kshetra. Anyone who lays down there gets the benediction of offering millions of dandavats to the Supreme Personality of Godhead just by laying down in Purushottam Kshetra, which is known as Jagannath Puri. So those who didn't go to the yatra, next time please don't miss it. Anyone who sleeps there gets the benediction of perfect yogic samadhi. Anyone who walks there, at every step that he takes within the Kshetra of Purushottam Kshetra, he gets the credit of circumambulating every holy place in the world. Anyone who speaks there, whatever he may speak, even if he does prajalpa, they get the credit of offering beautiful Vedic hymns and prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now please listen to this carefully. Anyone who eats there, even if he eats fish, gets the credit of eating sacred remnants of Havisham. Of course, we don't recommend this. We have Krishna Prasad and Jagannath Prasad. Lord Krishna was glorifying Purushottam Kshetra as if he had hundreds of mouths. And he said, do you know the denizens of Purushottam Kshetra? When the demigods, when they see them from their heavenly planets, each and every living entity in Purushottam Kshetra is seen as a four-armed Vaikuntha form. We may see them as insects and dogs and cows and hogs, but all these living entities, when they are seen by the demigods from there, they can see them as four-armed residents of Vaikuntha. That is my most favorite place to reside, Lord Shiva. So you please come and live next to me in Bhuvaneshwar. It is said that the deity of Lord Shiva at Bhuvaneshwar, which is known as a Harihara, the pujaris of that deity, they make an offering to Lord Krishna first, and then the remnants are offered to Lord Shiva. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his way to Jagannath Puri, he stopped at the place called Bhuvaneshwar. And there, in front of the Lord, he performed ecstatic dance. It is explained that Lord Shiva is a wonderful dancer himself. He is Nataraj. But he dances for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. So in a mood of reciprocation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna, comes and dances in front of Lord Shiva for his pleasure. There, he saw the deity and he danced ecstatically. When Lord Shiva came here, he brought the waters from all the holy tirthas, from the entire creation, and that is what formed the Bindu Sarovar. Later it is said that Kardama Muni also performed his tapasya over here. And Lord Vishnu, seeing the love and devotion of Kardama Muni, he shed tears, and the tears of Lord Vishnu formed the Bindu Sarovar. So under the instructions of Narada Muni, King Indradyumna worshipped Lord Krishna. And because of his divine intentions, Lord Shiva personally appeared before King Indradyumna. And he gave him the benediction that you will attain all good fortune and please continue your divine mission, you will be successful. Then Lord Shiva disappeared. But he separately appeared before Narada. And he said, Narada Muni, I would like to inform you that although King Indradyumna has taken this journey to go and take the darshan of Neelamadav, but Neelamadav has already disappeared. He said, but you please instruct the king that when he reaches the outskirts of Purushottam Kshetra, he should first worship the deity of Narasingha Dev. Make a beautiful temple for him and install the deity of Narasingha Dev over there. And after that, he should perform 1,000 Ashwamedh Yajnas. And after he performs those Ashwamedh Yajnas, he will get the result that he is looking for. So saying, Lord Shiva disappeared from there, having instructed Narada on how to guide King Indradyumna. As soon as their chariot reached the outskirts of Purushottam Kshetra, King Indradyumna felt that his left eye was blinking, his left arm was twitching, and he became a little apprehensive. And he's asking Narada Muni that, are these some bad omens? Why am I feeling like this? Narada Muni said that when we are performing some devotional service, we should not bother about these omens. And he said, I would like to tell you that many obstacles will come on the path of the service to Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we should welcome those obstacles and should not be discouraged. Krishna will always protect us. But I have to tell you, King, you will not find Neelamadav. This is when he revealed it to King Indradyumna. There was this big sandstorm and Neelamadav has disappeared. King fell on the ground. He did not want to live anymore. He said that, I have a son. We'll coronate him and I will just fast over here till I end my life and I will not move from here. Narada Muni says that my father, Lord Brahma, told me this, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will personally come and you must be patient. Please continue. Please continue to do as I ask you to do. Then Narada Muni offered prayers. And when they saw the deity of Lord Narasingadev, they built a temple for him within 5 days. The son of Vishwakarma personally came and made it. They installed the deities. And then King Indradumna started performing the Ashwamedh Yajnas. These Ashwamedh Yajnas were not ordinary yajnas. The demigods came to witness that. And King Indradumna personally made arrangements for each demigod the same way as they have in their heavenly planets. So he made such wonderful arrangements for them. And after 999 yajnas were performed, King Indradumna, he went to take a bath in the ocean to perform the final yajna. As he was approaching the ocean, some devotees came running from the ocean towards him and said, King, we have seen something which is absolutely unbelievable. There is this huge tree which has come floating down the ocean, and on the tree there are the marks of the Shankha and Chakra. The tree is so effulgent, it is so fragrant, it is so huge. King Indradumna immediately asks Narada Muni. Narada Muni said, yes. He said, last night, Lord Vishnu, he dropped one hair from his body into the ocean of milk. And that has come in the form of this tree. And we have to take this tree, and out of this tree, the beautiful forms of the Lord will be carved. And this carpenter comes, whose name was Vishwakarma. And as you saw in the drama, he says that there is a condition that nobody should disturb me. And this King Indradumna, out of his anxiety to take the darshan of the Lord as soon as possible, when he does not hear the sound of the chisel and the hammer, he opens the door. And when he sees the deities which look to him incomplete, he once again faints. And he feels that he is the cause of these deities remaining incomplete, because there was no trace of Vishwakarma over there. But at that time, Narada Muni tells him, it is no fault of yours. These deities are complete. They are not incomplete. He says, once when I was visiting Lord Krishna in Dwarka, the queens of Dwarka, they wanted to listen to the pastimes of Vrajabhumi. So the only person in Dwarka who could tell them about these was Mother Rohini. So the queens requested Rohini Devi to please tell us the stories of Vrajabhumi about the pastimes of Krishna. She said, I can narrate those pastimes, but the problem is, as soon as Krishna and Balaram will hear these pastimes, they will come here and I will not be able to continue. We will all go into trance. So Subhadra says, okay, I will play the role of the gatekeeper. I will stop my brothers from coming in. You please narrate the stories. Queen Rohini starts the narrations how the celebrations of the appearance of Krishna took place. Nand ke anand bayo jay kanaiya lal ki. And then how the various demons were killed. And as she was giving the details of the various pastimes, Krishna and Balram immediately understood that Braj Katha has been spoken. Let us go, let us go. By this time, Rohini Devi had come to the point where she was explaining to them the pastimes of Lord Krishna with Radharani and the gopis. And when they heard these pastimes, Krishna, Balram and Subhadra, all three of them in the doorway, they attained Mahabhav. Their limbs were drawn into their body, their eyes became very huge and their lips became into a huge smile. They were in transcendental position and nobody could say what is happening. At that time, Narad Muni reached there. And he saw this form, of Krishna Balaram and Subhadra ji. And he said, I have seen. Immediately, the Lord came into his original form. Narad Muni said, I have seen this form, but my Lord, for the rest of generations, for the people at large, let there be one place where this darshan of yours in your Mahabhav Prakash will be available to everyone. So Lord said, okay, this will be at Niladri, north of the Southern Sea, south of the Mahanadi, and next to Ekambravan. So King Indradyumna, please do not lose heart. This is Krishna Balaram and Subhadra. It is the boon which Lord Krishna personally gave me, and they have appeared in this age in the wooden form as Daru Brahma. The king then requests Narada Muni and he seeks his guidance on what is to be done next. Narad Muni says, as I told you, Brahmaji will personally come to install these deities. So let us make a huge temple in which these deities can be established. On top of that hill, a beautiful temple was built by King Indradyumna, and when Maharaj Indradyumna was satisfied by seeing the Lord, he started giving so many gifts. He started giving incredible gifts to all the brahmanas and to all the denizens of the heavenly planets who had come there. He gave thousands and thousands of cows to the brahmanas. And these cows were laden with gold, silver and silken clothes. It is said that the place where all these cows were assembled, the weight of the cows was so much that the ground went down. And when water filled in that ground, that is what is today known as the Indradyumna Sarovar. Narada Muni said, I have to now go and invite Brahmaji to come and do the installation. King Indradyumna is asking him, can I come with you? He said, okay, let's go. And they reached the abode of Brahmaji. When they reached the abode of Brahmaji, the gatekeeper says, Right now, Brahmaji is singing the hymns for the pleasure of the Lord. So, please wait for some time. And when he is done, he'll call us. After a few moments, Brahmaji calls them and they go in. And Narad Muni, on behalf of King Indradumna, invites Brahmaji that please come and install the deities. Brahmaji says, do you understand one thing? Please consider that this one moment in Brahmalok which you have spent, 71 cycles of yugas have completed on the earth. Nonetheless, you please go ahead. I will come. So under the instruction of Lord Brahma, three carts were made. And the deities of Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev and Subhadraji were placed in those carts. And they were being taken to the temple. This was the first Rath Yatra. There was such tumultuous kirtan going on at that time. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The sound of the kirtan reached the palace of the king. And when he heard that, he thought that some other king has come to attack my kingdom. His name was King Gala. He came and he asked, who are you? King Indradumna said, well, I was here 71 cycles back. Oh, so now you have come? Okay, welcome, welcome. So they proceed towards the installation of the deities. Lord Brahma initiated King Indradumna with the mantra of Lord Narsingadev. And Brahmaji prayed to Jagannath and he requested him that he should personally instruct King Indradumna on how to worship him. And it is said that in this instruction that Lord Jagannath gave to King Indradumna, he mentioned that the Shabaras, the descendants of Vishwavasu, should be given the authority of performing the puja and taking care of the Lord from the day of Snan Yatra till the end of the day of the Rath Yatra. So this was one of the instructions of the Lord which is being followed even till today. And he explained how the different festivals should be celebrated. All this was personally explained by Lord Jagannath to King Indradumna. This place, Jagannath Puri, has been visited by many great personalities. Lord Shiva himself, when he appeared as Shankaracharya, he came to Jagannath Puri and he established a mutt over there. Shankaracharya had the mission of establishing four mutts. In the north, he established Badrikashram. In the south, he established Rameshwaram. In the west, he established Dwarka. And in the east, he established Jagannath Puri. Even today, Shankaracharya's mutt is there in Jagannath Puri. Ramanujacharya came here. Ramanujacharya was a bit confused by seeing the standards of deity worship. Because his standards of deity worship were very, very high. So when he saw the pujaris at Jagannath temple, he thought that it was his duty to explain to them exactly how the worship should be performed. So next day, he called a meeting of all the pujaris. Since he had this big meeting coming up, he took rest early, and in his sleep, Jagannath ji appeared before him. He picked up Ramanujacharya and he threw him 100 miles away and he landed in Kurukshetra. He said, Ramanujacharya, these devotees are performing their devotional service out of love for me. If you want to establish your standards of worship, you go and establish them in Kurukshetra. When Ramanujacharya, he landed in Kurukshetra, at first he thought that it is a Shivalinga, so he started fasting. But then he saw that it is Kurma, then he started feasting and had a festival over there. And he called all the pujaris over there, and the deity worship standards over there have become now as per Ramanujacharya's desire. Similar incidents took place during Odina Shasti. Odina Shasti is a festival when Lord Jagannath is offered many beautiful multicolored woolen clothes, because that is the beginning of the winter. So during this festival, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his associates were witnessing it. One after the other, beautiful, beautiful multicolored deity clothes were being offered to the lords. At the end of the festival, the devotees were going home. Swarup Damodar and Pundarik Vidyanidhi, they walked along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu till Gambira, and then they went to their own quarters. Pundarik Vidyanidhi is having this doubt, so he is asking Swarup Damodar Goswami. He says, I don't understand. These people, they were offering these clothings, but they were all covered with starch. Now, starch is supposed to be a contaminated thing and it cannot be offered to the Lord. The clothing has to be thoroughly washed before it is offered. Swarup Damodar is saying, what is your problem? The devotees are offering, the Lord is accepting. What is your problem? He says, no, I just thought about it, you know, according to our culture, we are not supposed to offer this starch clothing. He says, anyway, now you take rest, tomorrow we have to come early over here. And they go to take rest. That night, in his dream, Pundarik Vidyanidhi had a very special darshan. Jagannath and Balram were coming towards him with angry eyes, their hands folded into fists. They were coming boom, boom, boom. When Pundarik Vidyanidhi saw this darshan, he says, my Lord, what have I done? He says, you have criticized my devotees. They were offering these clothes to me out of love and devotion. What business did you have to criticize them? And gives him one tight fist on his cheek. He said, but my lord, okay, one more on the other side. That way, when Lord Jagannath finished, then Balram came forward. And that night, Pundarik Vidyanidhi's cheeks were pulverized. He begged forgiveness, and at last Jagannath says, okay, actually the offense that you have, you know, made is not so big, so we'll forgive you this time. But next time, never criticize my devotees. Pundarik Vidyanidhi says, okay. And he goes to sleep. Next morning when he comes to meet Swarup Damodar, he covers his face with a shawl. It was not because of the cold. Sarip Damodar is asking, what happened? He says, this is what happened. I had this most transcendental, blissful darshan of the Lord, and they have showered their mercy upon me. So this is a lesson we learn, that we should not ever criticize the pujaris of Jagannath, or for that reason any devotees of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya after he took sannyas, he also came to Jagannath Puri. He spent 24 years here, out of which of course he went to travel for a few years. And during those years when he was at Jagannath Puri, there were many pastimes which took place. On his way, when he was coming towards Jagannath Puri, he halted at the Kapateshwar Mahadev temple. Now this Kapateshwar Mahadev temple is near the river Barginadi. It is named so because once Lord Shiva performed penances and the size of his body became very small, like a kapata bird. So this temple of Kapateshwar Mahadev was established there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to take his bath in the Bargin Nadi. So he gave his danda to Nityananda Prabhu. He said, please take care of this danda, I will take bath and I will come. Meanwhile, while the Lord was taking his bath, Nityananda Prabhu holds the danda in his hands and he addresses it. He says, the person whom I am carrying in my heart is carrying you. And in any case, he thought that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas in the Bharati Sampradaya, which is Ek Dandi. But he knew that Vaishnavas have a Tri Dandi sannyas. So he was not happy with this. And he wanted to convert this one danda into three dandas. So immediately breaks the danda into three pieces. And then one more thought comes to his mind. He says, but even a Paramhamsa is not supposed to carry a danda. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is much above a Paramhamsa. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So he takes that danda, he throws it into the river. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes out after taking his bath and after wearing the clothes, he says, Nityananda, where is my danda? He said, danda? Which danda? My Lord, I was holding the danda and you were next to me and you were in ecstasy and you fell on the danda and the danda broke it and now I don't know where the danda is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very angry with Nityananda Prabhu. He says, the only possession that a sannyasi has, the only thing which I had, which is the sum total of all the demigods, you could not take care of that? He says, now I am going to Jagannath Puri. You either go ahead or you come after me. Don't come with me. I cannot trust you. So Nityananda Prabhu says, my Lord, you please proceed, we'll follow you. From a distance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes darshan of the chakra on top of the temple of Lord Jagannath. As soon as he takes darshan of the chakra, he pays obeisances, because there is no difference between the chakra and Lord Jagannath himself. Taking the darshan of the chakra is as good as taking the darshan of Lord Jagannath himself. And that is how Haridas Thakur, when he was performing his bhajan
Because he was born in a Malaysia family, he was not allowed to enter the temple of Jagannath. So he would just take the darshan of the chakra. And of course, Jagannath would personally come to meet him in the shape of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was proceeding towards Jagannath Puri. I can tell you one very small pastime about the chakra. I heard it only 2 days back from Bhakti Purushottam Swami Maharaj. It is said that the Lord was carrying Sudarshan Chakra in his right hand. Now we heard how the Sudarshan Chakra was used to annihilate so many people, and Sudarshan Chakra thought that, look, even the Lord is dependent on me. I am so strong and I am so powerful. So when this pride came into the heart of Sudarshan, Lord Jagannath immediately understood it. And he said, because you are my devotee, he said this in his mind, I need to teach you a lesson. So he told Sudarshan, you please go to the south, and there you will find a very, very good devotee. Bring him here. You tell him that Lord Jagannath wants to see you. So please come to Jagannath Puri. Sudarshan goes to the south, and there he sees Hanumanji. Hanumanji was meditating and doing his bhajan. And Sudarshan was in his heart thinking, how can this be such a big devotee anyway, since the Lord has said, I'll ask him to come. He said, Lord Jagannath wants to see you. Can you please come to Jagannath Puri? He said, yes, of course, why not? So Hanumanji comes to Jagannath Puri. But as soon as he tries to enter one gate, Sudarshan is there and not allowing him to come in. All of you know, Jagannath Puri, the temple has got 4 gates. Hanumanji goes to the second gate. Sudarshan is there, preventing him to come in. Third gate, Sudarshan is there. When somebody becomes powerful, he becomes very proud. He goes to the fourth gate. Sudarshan does not allow him to come in. The Lord understood this. He gave Hanumanji 2 extra hands. And this time, when Hanumanji tried to come in again, he went to the first gate, he caught hold of 1 Sudarshan, went to the second gate, caught hold of the 2nd Sudarshan, went to the 3rd gate, caught hold of the 3rd Sudarshan, went to the 4th gate and caught hold of the 4th Sudarshan, and he brought the 4 Sudarshans before Jagannath Ji. Jagannath Ji is telling Sudarshan, do you understand who is more powerful? I curse you that today onwards, instead of being in my right hand, you will become a wooden staff near my left hand. Most of you must be wondering, how come the Sudarshan is next to Lord Jagannath on the left side? And how come the Sudarshan is in the form of a wooden pole instead of a chakra? So, as usual, Sudarshan begs forgiveness. And as usual, the Lord is very merciful. He says, okay, since I already cursed you, you have to remain as a staff, wooden staff next to my left side. But then I will give you one benediction. And the benediction is that you will stay in the form of a chakra on the top of my temple. And anyone who takes darshan of you, it will be as good as he will take darshan of me. So this is how this Neela Chakra, he says, this is Neeladri, I am Neela Madhav, so you are Neela Chakra. This is how the chakra is there. When Abhiram Prabhu, Giriraj Prabhu and Madhavanand Prabhu were just talking to me before the class, we were discussing what should be the topics that should be covered. Because as I told you, it is like a sky and we can only get
few drops out of it. There are many other pastimes which took place. Last Sunday you all heard the pastime of Gundicha Marjanam. So, we'll skip that. There is the beautiful description about King Pratap Rudra, how he was praying to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was his spiritual master, and how he was begging him that please arrange for an audience with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when this request was presented before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, this is abominable. How can I associate with a worldly person? I am a sannyasi, and if my white cloth becomes tinted with a black spot, I will be criticized by everyone. I cannot meet the king. The devotees, Nityananda Prabhu, Ramananda Rai, Swarup Damodar, all trying to convince Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in various forms. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes very angry. He says, if you ask me for this request one more time, I will leave Jagannath Puri. This was very serious. But the devotees did not give up. They kept on trying. As the time is short, we will skip a few things from these pastimes. But however, since we observed Rath Yatra only 2 days back, we'll speak something about the Rath Yatra. So after the Gundicha Marjanam, about which you heard last Sunday, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they go to take rest because next day is Rath Yatra. Next day, they wake up early in the morning and they come in front of the Jagannath temple to witness the beautiful, beautiful festival of Pahandi, or what is also known as the Pandu Vijaya. During this festival, the Lord is brought from his royal palace, from his Ratnasan, the throne which is bejeweled, to the cart which is waiting outside for him. Just to remind you, 15 days before this, the Lord had a Snan Yatra, and during that he catches a cold and he gets fever, and for 15 days he is in seclusion. After this seclusion, there is the festival of Netrotsav, when the beautiful, or what is also Kalevaram, so that is a beautiful festival which takes place. And when the Rath Yatra is about to start, Lord Jagannath and Lord Baladev, they are decorated with only one ornament. And that ornament is the tahiya. Tahiya is the crown which the Lord wears for the period when he is being brought from within the temple to the rath. And this tahiya is made from simple bamboo sticks, wild flowers, kumkum, and pieces of mirror. But it is the most beautiful jewelry
that the Lord ever wears. It is a huge crown. Big, big crown. The devotees, the Shabara devotees, Daityas, under whose care the Lord is during this period, they tie him with silken robes. And the huge deity is brought down by hundreds of Daityas. Somebody is supporting him from the shoulder, somebody is supporting him from the back, somebody is supporting him from his feet. They tie thick silken robes and they lift the Lord. In olden days, they used to keep huge pillows of cotton. And the Lord would be transformed from one pillow to another, and sometimes with the weight of the Lord, the pillow would burst and the cotton would fly high up into the air. In this way, the Lord is brought to the carts. Please understand one thing. In this Leela, the Jagannath temple is Kurukshetra, where the Lord is performing his Dwarka Leela. And the purpose of this Rath Yatra is to carry the Lord till Gundicha temple, which is Vrindavan. So from this place, which is Neelachal, he will be taken to Sundarachal, which is Vrindavan. Now, Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, that is Jagannath and Baldevji, they are very eager to go to Vrindavan. We saw that even to the listen to the pastimes of Vrindavan, how they came in Dwarka to where Rohini Devi was narrating the pastimes. So they are very, very eager to go to Vrindavan. They have been away from Vrindavan for so many years. In their ecstatic anticipation, they are intoxicated like drunkards, moving like the supreme personality of drunkards. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj explains, you all know how drunkards move, right? Now that movement of the mortal drunkards is an infinitesimal spark in a perverted reflection of the supreme Purnam, the drunkardness of the Lord. So once Radhan Maharaj asked our friend Ramkumar, who is one of the leading daityas over there, and he takes care of the deities for this period. He said, Ramkumar, please tell me, you are so many of you, how do you orchestrate that the Lord should go up and down in such a way? Ramkumar said, We have to orchestrate? We are only trying to control him. In their enthusiasm to go to Vrindavan, they are so strongly trying to dance and they are so strongly intoxicated that you see this wonderful, wonderful darshan when they are just going backward and forward and backward and forward. And somehow, not by the strength of the daityas, but by the supreme will of the Lord, the deities are taken on the carts. Sometimes, they refuse to go up. 3 years back, when we were in Jagannath Puri, the daityas were trying their best, but Lord Jagannath was just lying on that ramp, which goes up towards the cart. Now at that time, for the benefit of the audience, there is a sound system throughout the Grand Road, and there is a person who is giving commentary. And the devotees, they are very intimate relationship with Jagannath. They do not have that awe and reverence. So this commentator, he says, Kaliya, get up. Lakhs of devotees have come to pull the cart. Why are you sleeping now? Is this the best time you found to sleep? And immediately Lord Jagannath gets up. And they take him on the cart. And the Rath Yatra starts. The deities are huge. 7 feet, 6.5 feet, 6 feet, 5, 6. Huge. The carts are huge. These carts are personalities. Each cart has a name. And please don't think that this is randomly made. These are not the new models of cars every year. There is a specific design. There is a specific number of wooden pieces which go into the making of the cart. And there are specific families who are assigned this service of building the cart. The day on which the work of building the cart starts is Akshaya Tritiya. And there's a beautiful festival in Jagannath Puri when they start building these carts. They have specific drivers. They have specific horses. The colors of the horses are also specific. The color of their canopy is also specific. It is not that today it is yellow, tomorrow blue, no. All these are specified. And these gigantic carts, which look like Mount Sumeru, are then pulled by the devotees with great love and affection. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally starts dancing in front of the carts. He forms circles of devotees to perform the Sankirtan. As soon as the deities are brought on the cart, King Prataparudra comes forward. He takes a broom with a golden handle and he starts sweeping the road in front of the deities. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees this, he is very pleased. He is very pleased to see that the king is taking the role of an ordinary sweeper just for the pleasure of the Lord. And therefore it is said that King Prataparudra, he will become a suitable candidate for receiving the Lord's mercy, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart melted by seeing the service attitude of the king. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so very happy, and simply by rendering this service, the king received the mercy of the Lord. We will see how. This is true opulence. When someone who has everything is ready to sacrifice it just for the pleasure of the Lord. An example is given of Rup and Sanatan Goswami. They were the ministers. But when in Ramakeli they used to perform the Bhagavat Kathas, they would personally welcome each devotee who came to attend the Katha. They would come down, receive him, make him very comfortable. And in this way, we can see that all the great personalities are great not because of their material achievements, but because of their humility. Now, for 15 days, the Lord had been in a secluded place performing the pastimes with his consort Lakshmi Devi. So when he wanted to take this summer vacation after his illness,
He took the permission of Lakshmi Devi and he said, I will just go for a couple of days and I'll be back. Lakshmi Devi says, okay. And he goes with his siblings, brother and sister. Having taken the permission, the Lord is now moving ahead on the Rath carts. On both the sides, he sees this beautiful white sand and is reminded of the bank of Yamuna. And he sees these beautiful gardens and trees and he is reminded of the Kadamba gardens and the forests of Vrindavan. Sometimes the cart would stop and sometimes the cart would start moving. When it came time to perform the Sankirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally garlanded each devotee. He applied sandalwood pulp and camphor on each devotee and he induced them to perform the Sankirtan. He formed these seven circles. In the first circle, he appointed Swarup Damodar as the lead person to sing and along with him Advaitacharya as the lead person to dance. In the second circle, he appointed Srivas Thakur as the chief person to sing and Nityananda Prabhu as the chief person to dance. In the third group, he appointed Mukunda Datta, son of Vasudev Datta, to lead the Kirtan. And Srila Haridas Thakur was the lead person in dancing. In the fourth group, he formed Govinda Ghosh, brother of Vasudev Ghosh and Madhava Ghosh, as the chief singer. And in this, Vakreshwar Pandit was the chief dancer. Friends, today is the disappearance day of Vakreshwar Pandit. So I will take a couple of minutes to speak something about him. Vakreshwar Pandit was one of the very close, intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is said that once when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing, Vakreshwar Pandit danced for 72 hours continuously. And Lord Chaitanya, he was so happy to see Vakreshwar Pandit dancing that he told him that you are like my one wing. And if I had another wing, I would be flying in the sky. Vakreshwar Pandit says, Lord, if you give me 10,000 Gandharvas and if all of them sing, I'll be happy to dance for the rest of my life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, because Krishna is in your heart and because Krishna is dancing in your heart, that is why he is giving you this ability to dance. And he was very pleased with Vakreshwar Pandit. Time is of constraint, so we'll move ahead. The next three groups which the Lord made for performing the Sankirtan. One was from Shantipur. In this group, Achyutananda, son of Advaitacharya, was the lead dancer. Then there was one group from Srikhanda. In this group, Narhari Sarkar and Raghunandan were the chief dancers. There was the seventh group from Kulinagram. And in this, Ramanand and Satyaraj Khan were the lead dancers. In each group, there were two mridanga players. And there were many, many kartal players and the leaders of the
the followers of the Kirtan. The Lord then enthused all of them. He placed four circles in front of the carts, one on each side of the cart, and one circle behind the cart. And they all sang in a very loud, tumultuous voice, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The Lord was dancing. By His Achintya Shakti, Leela Shakti, He was present in each circle. And the devotees in that circle thought the Lord is only with us. And each member in that circle thought that the Lord is reciprocating only with me. In this way, the beautiful Sankirtan went on. But this special benediction was received by King Pratap Rudra, that he could see that the Lord is manifesting in all the seven circles. He was the person who received this mercy from the Lord personally. And he could see that. He could also see that the Lord was reciprocating with Lord Jagannath. He could see that one Krishna in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Radharani, is dancing in front of the cart, and the Krishna in the form of Jagannath is reciprocating with her. This beautiful dancing and chanting continued. And sometimes when the Lord wanted all the groups to form one single circle, He would indicate and all the devotees would form one circle with this tumultuous 14 mridangas and hundreds of kartals, and the Lord would be dancing. To protect the Lord, Balaramji, that is Nityananda Prabhu, made the first circle. Next to it, Kashiswar and Govinda formed the second circle. And the third circle was made by King Pratap Rudra and his men. These were only to protect the Lord from the people around. What to speak about the dancing? The dancing of the Lord was ecstatic. All the symptoms of ecstasy were seen on His body simultaneously. He became stunned. The hair on His body was standing on end. Sometimes He perspired, sometimes He cried, sometimes He trembled and changed His color. He exhibited these symptoms: helplessness, pride, exuberance and humility. Tears were flowing from the eyes of the Lord as if some liquid was being injected from syringes. And these tears would make those who were around Him drenched in the love of God. The hair on the body would stand erect just like the thorns on a shimuli tree. Out of ecstasy, His teeth were chattering, just as a small child his teeth chatter in a severe cold. And each tooth was shaking as if it will fall out of his mouth any moment. The complexion of the Lord changed from golden to white to pink, like the hue of the Mallika flower, right in front of everyone. Sometimes when the Lord would step on one side, the entire universe would tilt with the weight of His body. The mountains, the trees, everything would tilt. And sometimes His body would become so soft and light, like a cotton wisp, the devotees would carry Him. Sometimes he would just be chanting jajja gagga jajja gagga, which was not understandable, but that was in his ecstasy. He could not even pronounce the names of the Lord. Foam would start coming out of his mouth as if it is a nectar from the moon falling. And one devotee by the name of Shubhananda, who was an expert at relishing such mellows, he collected that foam and swallowed it. As the Lord was dancing, people were splashed with nectar. It is described that he was dancing in such a way that every single person in Puri could see it. The pilgrims, the servants of Jagannath, the residents, everyone who saw the dancing of Gauranga Mahaprabhu before the Rath Yatra cart of Lord Jagannath, immediately pure ecstatic devotional service erupted from their hearts like volcanoes. They all achieved the ultimate perfection of life. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! Sometimes, all the devotees would dance as if they have become mad. And during such time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who lost his external consciousness, fell into the arms of King Prataparudra. And as soon as he regained his external consciousness, he said, "How abominable! I have been touched by a materialistic person." On hearing this, King Prataparudra is totally devastated. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya assures him, "Don't worry. The Lord is actually happy with you. But just to set an example for his followers, he is saying like this. Please don't get discouraged." While the dancing was going on and the rath was proceeding, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would indicate it to Swarup Damodar, his mood. And according to the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar would be singing different devotional songs. Repeatedly he would be singing, "Now I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I was being burned by Cupid and was withering away." This is in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Radha Bhav. Srimati Radharani has been in separation from the Lord. And now, it happened so that Krishna, along with his queens and the ministers and the residents of Dwarka, he went to Kurukshetra to attend the solar eclipse. At that time, the Brijavasis also went there. And when Srimati Radharani, she sees Krishna for the first time after so much time, these are her expressions. So repeatedly, Swarup Damodar is singing these songs as if it is Srimati Radharani who is speaking to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the spirit of Srimati Radharani, seeing Krishna at Kurukshetra, began to pray to Lord Jagannath. "You are the same Krishna, and I am the same Radharani. And these are same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. But I wish to bring you back to Vrindavan, to the Kadamba forest, on the banks of Yamuna. Here, you are surrounded by royal queens and ministers. But in Vrindavan, you are surrounded by the gopas and the gopis.
Here, there is a rattling sound of the chariots and the elephants and the horses. And there is the beautiful sound of the flowing of Yamuna and the humming of the bees and the singing of the birds. Here you are dressed in a royal opulence as a prince. But in Vrindavan, you are dressed like an ordinary gopa with wild flowers and the garlands of those flowers with gunjamala, with peacock feather in your hair. Srimati Radharani prayed, "I don't find even a drop of happiness here as I do in Vrindavan, which is an unlimited ocean of happiness. Please return to Vrindavan." It is said that the heart and the mind are one. However, my mind can never be separated from Vrindavan. Therefore, please, my Lord, put your lotus feet in my heart, which is Vrindavan. Please come and once again place your lotus feet in my heart. You have told us through Uddhava that we should meditate. We are not yogis. We are gopis. We want to have loving exchanges with you. We want to make flower garlands for you. We want to cook for you. We want to dance with you. Please, my Lord, come to Vrindavan. We are drowning in the unlimited ocean of separation and being devoured by the timingala fish of our ambitions. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten your own mother, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj? Have you forgotten the gopas and the gopis who have given their lives for your pleasure? Have you forgotten the river Yamuna who flows only for you and the Kadamba forest? Have you forgotten Govardhan? He is the Haridas warrior. He has dedicated everything only for your loving service. Have you forgotten the forest where you perform the Ras Leela? We know you have a soft heart. We know you are compassionate to all. But why are you doing this to the residents of Vrindavan? Is it that you want to kill them? Or you want to come back and save their lives? Dear Lord, why are you keeping them alive only to suffer? Please return to Vrindavan. And Srimati Radharani continued through the prayers to the Lord, "I do not care for my own personal happiness. But when I see Nanda and Yashoda, when I see their hearts breaking, weeping in separation, I cannot bear it. When I see the gopis and the gopas on the verge of death, I cannot bear it. Please, for their sake, to keep them alive, come back to Vrindavan Dham." When Lord Krishna heard these prayers of Srimati Radharani, his heart melted. He explained that the love that I have for the Brijavasis is always prominent in my heart. And out of all the Brijavasis, I love the gopis most. And out of all the gopis, you, Srimati Radharani, are the most dear to me. You have all surrendered your souls. I cannot bear the separation from you. And I know fully well in my heart that it is impossible for you to live in separation from me. Therefore, every day I worship Lord Narayan and pray to him that please give me a benediction so that I can come in an invisible form to Vrindavan from Dwarka every night. And that is what I do. And that is what is sustaining all of you. I cry. I cry day and night in separation from the Brijavasis. Please believe me. I only left because I did not want Vrindavan to be attacked by the armies of the Asuras. Therefore, I went to Mathura. I already killed Kansa. I already killed Jarasandh. Now, there are only a couple of more demons. And in the next 10 or 20 days, when I have annihilated them and liberated them, I promise you, I will return. And when I return, we will perform our pastimes day and night. I am sure that very soon we will all be together. When Srimati Radharani heard this, she became pacified. In her heart and the hearts of the gopis of Braja, they made carts. In those carts, they made Krishna, Balram and Subhadra be seated. And they were pulling these carts from Kurukshetra within their hearts to Vrindavan. This is the tattva of Rath Yatra. Srila Prabhupada explains during the Rath Yatra parade at San Francisco, he said that the emotional love of the heart of the devotee to bring Krishna back into our heart, there the heart represents Vrindavan. So our meditation during Rath Yatra should be that, my Lord, please enter into my heart. This meditation was in the hearts of all the devotees. While Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, Swarup Damodar was singing many other beautiful songs. Time is short, we'll have to cut short. Then the rath reaches Balagandi. Balagandi is a place where all the residents are allowed to make offerings to Lord Jagannath. Hundreds and thousands of offerings were brought before the carts, on the sides of the carts, behind the carts. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was exhausted from dancing, he goes towards the Ayatota garden and he lays down on a raised platform. All the devotees who have been dancing ecstatically for the pleasure of the Lord, each one finds a tree and takes rest under that. At that time, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda and Nityananda Prabhu, they ask King Prataparudra, go and offer some devotional service to the Lord. This is your chance. Go and massage his feet. Go and sing the songs of the Gopi, Gopi Gita from Srimad Bhagavatam, and please the Lord. King Pratap Rudra dresses as a Vaishnava in a simple dress and he approaches the Lord. He pays his obeisances and he starts massaging his feet. Gradually, while he's massaging his feet, he was singing the Gopi Geet. And when he came to the verse, Tava Katha Amritam Tapta Jeevanam,
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately got up and he embraced the king. He said, you are Bhurida. You are the most munificent person who is broadcasting the activities of Lord Krishna and his pastimes. And he started showering his tears. He drenched the king with his tears and the king was also weeping. And he drenched Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his tears. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to King Pratap Rudra his divine form. He gave him the darshan and he told him that he should not tell anyone about this. The king took his permission from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and met the devotees outside. The devotees were blissful. They were so happy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had at last showered his mercy on King Pratap Rudra. Srila Prabhupada explains a very important thing in this. He says that when some devotee becomes the recipient of the mercy, the other devotees should rejoice. That is true Vaishnava. In the material world, when somebody gets something, the others become envious of him. And this tendency also sometimes comes within the devotees. And he explains that the only way to get the mercy of the Lord is to rejoice when some other devotee gets the mercy. Lord Chaitanya, when he exhibited his divine form to King Pratap Rudra, he wanted to give him a benediction. He said, you have pleased me. I love you. Who are you? Please tell me, who are you? The king in all honesty says, my lord, I am the servant of the servants of your servants. And please, bless me and give me the benediction that I should always remain their servants. King Pratap Rudra was trembling in ecstasy. Here it is explained that when Dhruva Maharaj was offered the riches of the demigods by Kubera, he only asked for this benediction. When Kolavech Sridhar, during the Mahaprakash Leela at the house of Srivas Thakur by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, I will give you the riches of Indra. I can give you 8 mystic siddhis. I can give you liberation. Sridhar, ask, what do you want? Sridhar says, my lord, I don't want any of this. Please, just let me be the servant of the servants of your servants eternally. Srila Prabhupada says, this is the most important thing that devotees have to understand. Once again, I have to curtail, but I will end with a very small pastime because it happens to be Hira Panchami today. After the Rath arrives at Gundicha temple, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with his associates daily perform kirtan and dancing for the pleasure of the Lord, and at night they would take rest in the nearby gardens. On the 5th day is the festival of Hira Panchami. Hira means to see and Panchami is the date. So as I told you, Lord Jagannath, when he left Neelachal, he had taken permission from Lakshmi Devi only for a couple of days. But now that 3 or 4 days have passed and he did not return, Lakshmi Devi becomes very angry. She comes with her servants and followers on a palanquin. She is dressed in very opulent dresses. She has all the riches with her. And when the palanquin comes near the Gundija temple, the servants of Lord Jagannath close the gates and do not allow her to come in. Immediately the servants of Lakshmi Devi, they arrest all the servants of Jagannath. They put handcuffs on them and they bring it in front of Lakshmi Devi and they have to surrender. And they are beaten. They are beaten by the servants of Lakshmi Devi. This is enacted every year on Hira Panchami, and this was the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with associates was witnessing this beautiful pastime, and they were laughing. They were laughing and laughing. Lakshmi is frustrated. First, because Jagannath did not come back. Second, because she is not allowed entry into Vrindavan. So, out of her frustration, she breaks the cart of Jagannath and takes one piece with her. She goes by another road so that people don't see that she has come back without Jagannath. And at this moment, when this pastime was going on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking Swarup Damodar, what is this leela? And Swarup Damodar is explaining to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the different types of mana, or that pastime of appearing to be angry between a husband and a wife. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also induces Srivas Thakur and Swarup Damodar into a small argument and a competition. Swarup Damodar is Lalita Sakhi and Srivas Thakur is Narad Muni. So the Narad Muni is explaining the opulence of Lakshmi Devi. See how opulent Lakshmi is. So Swarup Damodar, who is playing the role of Lalita Sakhi, is saying, what do you know? In Vrindavan, it is all Chintamani Dham. That one speck of the grain of the sand of Vrindavan is more opulent than all the riches of your Lakshmi Devi. Every tree is a Kalpavraksha tree. Every cow is a Surabhi cow. You need to understand the opulence of Vrindavan. In this way, that pastime ends, and then there is a return Rath Yatra, and the Lord is taken back to his royal abode of Dwarka or Neelachal. And this is the time when Lakshmi Devi takes her revenge. She closes the door and he cannot come in. So one day, Lord Jagannath has to wait outside. And you know how these things are between husbands and wives. After some time, it all is resolved. So she opens the gate and brings a plate full of rasgullas and she invites Jagannath to come in. Jagannath Bhagwan ki! Srila Prabhupada ki!